The Burt Show.
Jeff was out at the Kenny Chesney concert last night.
Yeah, Phil was there too. It was a great show. This guy is amazing, man. 16,000, whatever, 100 people at Phil's Arena 3 nights in a row.
I'm out of the loop on the country thing. Like, I just have the old traditional country thing in my head, and I've never gone back.
He said more than once from the stage that in his 12 years of touring, he has never once played the same city 3 nights in a row. And 3 sellouts. I mean, that's huge.
Is it the kind of thing where he plays Atlanta because he doesn't play other southern cities that are close, like Birmingham and all?
No.
So he's been pulling from everywhere?
Like I said, he's been touring for 12 years, and he has been partying. You know, he came to Atlanta and partied hard for 3 solid nights.
Even more proof of it, he even sold out Detroit in like an hour. 2 shows in Detroit, he sold those out in like an hour.
All them Yankees like Kenny Chesney?
Yeah, it's like that country music boom right now. And last night was just amazing. It was absolutely gorgeous.
Do you think his new marriage helps at all? I mean,
somebody, at one point, I went with my brother Sam and my dad and my little sister, and we were just having a great time. And I got elbowed more than once because he was going up to where the skyboxes were or where the boxes were. And at one point, somebody elbowed me and said, did he just say, hey, Renee? Because it sounded like in his second or third song, he went and pointed it up one of the boxes and said, hey, Renee, because he was waving to the crowd. And I got elbowed twice. Somebody said that he did that more than once. I didn't catch it.
She wasn't there last night. She was there Saturday night.
Okay.
She was there at the concert on Saturday night. And Uncle Cracker came out and Gretchen Wilson came out again. Cracker was hammered last night on
stage. No, really?
Yeah.
Who knew? The guy drinks?
I don't know if you saw this from the side of the stage you were sitting on, Phil, but I'm pretty sure that Kenny Chesney was giving hand signals to do his band whether or not to keep or get rid of Cracker, like keep Cracker on stage or
really?
Get rid of him. Like he had to turn around and he nodded at his guitar player and like his guitar player was like, are you sure? And that happened right in front of us.
Like, what's the crowd like now at a country concert?
Hot, I mean, gorgeous,
hot,
wonderful.
Yeah.
Hot. It was like going to a UGA game, but everyone was dressed up. I mean, the crowd was, it was like 20,000 beautiful people. Country is a younger crowd now. I mean, I would say the average age there was probably between the ages of 20 and 25.
Really?
Yeah. And all the girls, you know, had their cowboy hats on, and all the guys had cowboy hats on. And it was if you watch like a Kenny Chesney video, that's what it was like.
Yeah, it was cool. The problem was, and I was talking to some of my friends at Phillips Arena, and I think we all agree it's a great place to see a concert, and they mm-hmm. do an awesome job. And we were talking about the different crowds, and, you know, 3 nights of any concert, plus Destiny's Child on Friday night, so these guys have been working for, like, 4 straight nights, you know, mm-hmm. at concerts, and they were looking pretty beat up, and some of them were telling me that sometimes this crowd gets a little rowdy. You know,
really?
A little more rowdy than other crowds, just because, you know, the beer's flowing and they're out to have a good time. And sometimes, and I almost experienced that with Jessica, because we said, I have, you know, a few pet peeves or quirks or whatever you want to call them.
Uh-huh.
You know, one of them is I hate being left on hold on the phone. Like, it drives me nuts. Very frustrating to me. And another one is at any sort of event where there's assigned seating, I hate people who try to sit in better seats before the event begins.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm okay with if you're at a baseball game and 3 or 4 innings have gone by and you've been sitting, like, you know, 50 rows up and you've seen the same 2 rows empty down and you can talk to the usher and you can go down there or whatever. If you can do that, that's fine.
It's the same theory in a plane, too.
Yes.
Like, if you want to go to it, sit in your seat until the door closes, and then if there's an open seat, mm-hmm. at that point you get
game
up
on.
And you go, right.
Right.
And so that is just anywhere there's assigned seating, if you don't sit in your assigned seat, it just bugs me because chances are somebody is going to be in those seats. I mean, you know, if you're going to whatever the event is, those seats have been sold.
Like give them a chance to be late.
Exactly.
I mean, give them a chance to get to their seat first.
So we are sitting in our seats, and we're in, you know, whatever section we are, blah, 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 and we're in row 3. And we're sitting in the section, and there's only, because it's near a tunnel and stuff, and I think there might have been, like, like some handicap accessible space next to us, and it was kind of a weird row. There were only 4 rows in the seats. And even on the ticket, it looked kind of funny. So it was 1, 2, 3. Like it said on the ticket, it said 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, something like that. It was a little hard to read. But we walked in, and like I said, you know, I've got friends who work at Phillips Arena. We walked in with them, and he just goes, okay, there's your seats right there. And we just sat in the empty row on the seats in that row closest to the stage. Like we slid all the way down. Well, some guy comes in with his girlfriend, and because we had the whole row of four seats, we're actually sitting right in the middle of the row. So we would have been sitting in seats two and three, and we're sitting there, and this guy comes in with the girl, and I had all four seats in the row, and the other seats were in my pocket. So the guy comes in to, and says to Jessica, "Hey, you're in our seats." And Jessica's like, "No, I don't think so," and takes out her ticket. He goes, "I know where my seats are. You're in my seats." And his girlfriend goes, "Just move down. Move down." To Jessica, and Jessica's like, "I don't think so, but whatever." So we slide down to the end of the row, and Jessica's like, "Hey, would you mind if I could I see your ticket?" So the girlfriend says to the guy, "Hey, can she see your ticket?" And the guy's like, "Who the hell is she? She doesn't need to see our tickets." Hands Jessica to goes, "I know where my GD seat is. I am not effing up. This is my seat. This is where I belong." And I just lean out and glared at him.
Right.
You know, and I'm like,
"That's ridiculous.
Dude, what is your deal?" And then as soon as, this is during Gretchen Wilson, as soon as the lights came back up, this guy looks over at us and goes, "You guys got to move now," and gets an usher and says, "Hey, we're supposed to be at the end. We're on the seats closest to the stage. They're in our seats, and they're being a-holes about it," or something like that, and gives the usher his ticket. And the usher says, "Sir, you're in the wrong row."
And what does he do?
He the whole night tried to be like buddy-buddy with me after that. His girlfriend apologized to Jessica, and he apologized to Jessica. And she, like, I actually said to her afterwards, I'm like, "You were too nice to him. Like, I didn't even look at him, didn't make contact." Mm-hmm. And if he did, I was going to tell him, "You know what? You just don't be an a-hole." Mm-hmm. Like, don't just sit in your seats.
Yeah.
Sit, that drives me nuts. And if it wasn't, like, if it's an honest mistake, like, I thought we may have been in the right row. Yeah. Because, like I said, we walked in with our buddy from Phillips, and he just goes, "There you go." And we just sat in the empty row. Like, we could have been one row off. It was no big deal. But just wait till the break. Don't be a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what I mean? Just don't.
Like, I'd love to take this from the other guy's angle, like where you were sticking up for something you knew in your heart of hearts you were right for. Like you were willing to fight over it. And then like 30 seconds later, you realize, damn, I was wrong. Because we've all been there and had that sinking feeling, you know, when you're sticking up for something so passionately, then you realize, I'm totally in the wrong here.
Right.
404-741-1005. I'd love this guy to call in and say, that was me.
I actually, if he wasn't such a jerk about the whole thing, I would have felt terrible for him because it was such a humbling experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it was seriously like the last two songs of Gretchen Wilson's set. And we just, like, my deal is like, just slide down, let everybody sit here. When the lights come on, we'll sort it out. No big deal, right? And this guy just had to be loud and boisterous, and I felt bad for his girlfriend because she looked at Jessica and she goes, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry." Like she legitimately felt bad.
We could take phone calls from girlfriends too of their man or a friend of someone who did that too. Like because
your man was sticking up for you and he was in the wrong.
Because there's plenty of times when women are embarrassed by the way a guy's trying to buck up and handle a situation, and then to find out that you go, "Oh."
Hey, Vic, you're on all the hits, Q100.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's going on?
I had kind of the same situation, but it took place at Freak Meet. And I had like $40 in my pocket. And I bought like a T-shirt and, you know, something to drink. I was kind of, you know, drunk, had a little too much to drink.
Mm-hmm.
So later on, I had took a picture with one of the panhandlers or whatever. And I forgot that I spent my $20. Gave him my last 20. So I stood there for the longest, man, about to fight this guy. I'm like, you know, come on, man, I want my money, or I'm going to take the camera and all this kind of stuff. But he decided to give me my $20 back. I walked away. I realized I had spent all my money, but I was too embarrassed to go back.
Of course you were. Of course you were. All right, Vic, thank you for calling.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate it. Too much pride getting in the way, man.
Yeah.
All the hits, Q100, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Okay, I'm sitting at a red light, me and my girlfriend. We're going to dinner, and I'm behind the car at the red light, and this guy wouldn't move at all. And I'm sitting here blowing the horn at him, and yelling at him. He's yelling at me, shooting me the finger, and we're about to get out of the car and just go at it. Then all of a sudden, he's pointing up at the light, and I look up there, and there's a sign that says, "No turn on red." And my girlfriend's like, she's pissed off. She's just like, she didn't want to go to dinner after that. I'm sitting there, And I didn't know what to do. I just laughed. It was just funny to me. But,
right. Like I said, you only have a couple of options. Either it's like you find humility or you just refuse to believe what just happened.
Right. I wanted to catch up to the guy and tell him sorry, but I couldn't.
Have you ever been in this situation where you know you're wrong, you're found out, and then rather than apologizing, you get in a fight with your girlfriend over something else just to mask the fact that you were just wrong?
Yes, definitely.
Somehow try to put it back on her with something else.
Yeah.
My favorite story, I think this is kind of close. I mean, I don't think this guy had any choice but to be humbled. But this is my favorite all-time story of a situation like this where you just have to, the towel's got to be between your legs. Actually happened at Bert's old radio station when they were introducing a concert. And this guy named Al goes out on stage to bring the next band out. And it's like, some real, like, let's say it's Black Eyed Peas, That's a pumped up, that's like, you got to get up and dance band, right? So he goes out there, he goes, hey, thanks for coming to the, Kiss concert number 5. You guys having a good time? Well, everybody cheers. He goes, I need you to get on your feet and make some noise for the Black Eyed Peas. And like the front row, two rows, everybody stands up at them. And he goes, you will not stay seated for, stand up in the front. We need to make some noise to get the front row to stand up. And people are cheering, And he goes, front row, get on your feet. And then they turn the lights on and he sees that that's where they put all the wheelchairs.
He called for the house lights. Kid and I were actually on stage with him. And he's like, house lights. So they put all the lights on, and then everybody in the entire venue could see that he's been yelling at all these people that are in wheelchairs.
Oh, yep. My. What did he do?
I don't know.
At that point, you're just like,
oh, gosh.
All right, here's the Black Eyed Peas.
Oh, my gosh. They're probably going, jerk, if I could stand up, I would. Thanks so much.
I would stand up, and I would chase you with a stick.
I will kick your ass.
I mean, you're in front of 15,000 people at that point, and they've all just realized.
Damn.
Good morning, Mark. You're on all the hits, Q100.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, man.
Well, I was head of security at Backstreet a few years ago, that now deceased 24-hour nightclub.
Right.
And it was an off night, and we had gotten this call that somebody had lifted this guy's wallet. Well, we found the guy, chased him 4 blocks when he ran from us. He got maced, fight ensued. I have a scar to this day on my knee where we were rolling around on the asphalt. We dragged the guy back, get him in front of the victim who says, my wallet hasn't been stolen.
So, was the wrong guy? You guys maced and fought with the wrong guy?
No. It turns out the guy had just had quite a bit to drink and didn't realize this guy had stolen his wallet. We actually had the right guy, but there was about 15 or 20 seconds there, dead silence, where we all thought we had committed a felony.
But you did end up with the right guy.
Yeah, it ended up being correct.
It ended up being correct, but there was that 15 or 20 seconds where we thought, oh, my God, we're all going to jail.
Here comes a lawsuit.
Oh, man.
Yep. That would have shut Backstreet down a lot earlier. That would have been like Jimmy's Backstreet or something like that.
Good morning, David. You're on all the hits.
Who's name? Jimmy, story about my 21st birthday.
Yes, sir.
I was at a place in Buckhead, I think it was the Vortex, and my friends had taken me out drinking earlier in the afternoon. We had got to this place sometime that evening, so I was already fairly buzzed. We began drinking, and the people who were working there asked us to see our ID several times. I guess we looked young. And by the time we got done and were ready to leave, we were all pretty intoxicated, and I couldn't find my ID. So we still had plenty of the night left for me to go drinking on my 21st birthday, and I began to raise hell about these people who lost my ID. So I'm raising hell, and eventually the patio where we're sitting completely cleared out because I was raising so much hell and causing such a fuzz. My friends jump into the fight because they completely see my passion, and they think they're like, okay, well, they must have taken the ID. They're totally behind me, on board with me. We leave the place finally after they escort us out, to put it nicely, and after we're leaving, we're about halfway home because there's nowhere else to go with the person on his 21st birthday without his ID, and I look in my pants pocket. I'm wearing those cargo jeans that have the pockets on the side.
Yeah.
And I put my ID in my side pocket on the pants.
Oh,
and
no.
My friend unfortunately knew one of the guys who worked at that place, and he was actually never went back because I kind of ruined it for him with the scene that I made there. So
did you ever come clean? So you did come clean with your friends?
Yeah, I did. Of course, we had to keep drinking.
Because there does come a time where, like, you've already made an ass out of all your friends also, and you just kind of maybe want to hide that fact that you were in the wrong,
I'm sure there's plenty of people, like, when they're paying by credit card at dinner, and then they put the card back in their wallet, but they forget that they did it, and then they think the waiter still has their credit card.
Right.
And then also at Bert's Big Adventure, Crash, I don't know if you remember this, but Crash and I were trying to get into one of the parks. We were hanging out the day that the families were on their own. And so we had gone to one of the parks, and then we got in. Everything's good. So we leave. We go to another park. His credit card had somehow stuck to the back of the park pass. So when he tried to put the park pass into the new park, they wouldn't let him in. And so I'm sitting there with my arms crossed. Like, I can't, you know, we just used this. And we're kind of arguing a little bit with the Disney people. And then it ends up it was Crash's fault.
Man, you're going straight to hell. You start arguing with the Disney people, and you're wrong, man.
The Bert Show.